Our text this evening is the first 11 verses. Isaiah 40, starting at verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. So far, God's word, and as always, I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we work our way together through this passage. Let's first of all pray. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can be reminded this evening of our comfort, our only comfort that we have. We thank you, Lord, for the comfort of your word to us, and may it indeed be a comfort to us this evening. Lord, we pray that you'd open our hearts and minds, that you'd remove any of the distractions from the day, any of our cares, and simply help us to focus on you and your word to us this evening. Work in us through your Holy Spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, can one of the boys and girls tell me what comfort food is? Do you know what comfort food means? Can someone tell me, what's comfort food? Well, we're going to talk in a minute about what foods are comfort food, Joe, but what is comfort food? What do we mean by comfort food? Do you know? Peppermints, maybe? No. What's comfort food? Sarah? Food that makes you happy, yeah, the kind of food that you eat on a rainy day or when you've had a bad week or a bad day, food that makes you happy. What's comfort food like in your place? I hear chocolate from one corner, is that right? What's comfort food like in your place?
Everything.
Everything's comfort food. Well, there we go. Easily pleased, Eric.
Soup?
The Boer household. Deep fried goodness. Am I right?
What else?
Or bacon. Okay. Zara?
Chocolate?
Hot chocolate? Yes. What about in the youth aisle in the back? What's comfort food?
Pancakes.
There we go. We all know what that kind of food is, don't we? What it does. In our house, hot chocolate, but also refried bean dip. Nothing spectacular, but it's actually really nice, Eric. You have to come and try it sometime. Or maybe not. Refried bean dip, it is really nice. So we have comfort food. We also have comfort clothes. That favourite pair of pants or jersey that, even though it's got holes in it, it's just good to wear. Or socks with holes too sometimes, isn't it? Comfort food, comfort clothes. Well, the Heidelberg Catechism and God's Word this evening challenges us to think about what our comfort is eternally. as we begin our journey through the Bible with the help of the Heidelberg Catechism, the question we're being asked tonight is, where do you find your comfort? And that's a big question. The Catechism knows it. It says, what is your only comfort in life and in death? Eternity is at stake here. And we're going to look and focus this evening on Isaiah 40 as we look at where our comfort comes from. And as we begin this series with the Heidelberg Catechism as a guide, it's Session's desire and my desire that as we look at some of the teachings of the Bible, that this material that we look at is practical, that it challenges us, that it makes us think, that it's not just filling our heads with knowledge, but that it helps us and challenges us in our daily walk. So I want your feedback. Not now, not right now. I haven't started yet, but over the weeks as we go on. How are you being challenged? What are you finding helpful? Where are you finding it impacting in your life? Don't answer it. Don't just talk to me. Talk to the other men on Session as well. Let them know too. Because that's where the Heidelberg Catechism is aimed. It's not aimed at just filling our heads with knowledge. It's aimed with life and living practically, living the Christian life. And it begins with a very practical question. What is your only comfort in life and in death? And that answer, what is our comfort? It's there in our theme this evening. Our only comfort in life and death is provided for us by Jesus Christ, or as I've written it in the bulletin, Jesus Christ provides us with our only comfort in life and death. So that's it. You know what the sermon's about tonight. We can finish up and all go home. But we haven't been challenged yet. We haven't been encouraged. And we haven't opened God's word. So let's do so now as we explore that theme. Our first point this evening, and they all talk about comfort, is comfort in our failures. The beginning of the book of Isaiah is pretty glum. The people of Israel, or the people of Judah, more properly put, because the people of Israel have already been gone away into captivity, the people of Judah have turned away from God and began to follow gods with a small g. And the beginning of the book of Isaiah lays out God's dissatisfaction, God's punishment that's coming for the people because they've turned away from God. And Isaiah's laid out that punishment. And but here in Isaiah 40, things turn to comfort. And in fact, as the people of Israel, or the people of Judah, I should say, have considered these words of Isaiah, have considered God's challenge to them, considered the coming punishment, they actually have blamed God. And that's pretty typical for human beings, isn't it? But that's what they say in verse 27 of chapter 40. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? They're blaming God for the predicament they're in. They're blaming God for being sent away into exile. But how does God respond? How does God respond to a people who have walked away from him, who have wandered away from them? He responds in judgment, yes, but that is never, ever the end of the story for God's people. No, he comes down. He comes down and he provides them with comfort. And that begins, as I said, here in the book beginning of Isaiah. Notice what he says there. He goes from the promise of judgment in the first 39 chapters as a summary, but here he comes to the promise of comfort. And notice what he says there in verse 40, boys and girls. Comfort, comfort my people, says God. Is that what it says there in the Bible? So it says, have a really good look. Does it say that? Says God? It doesn't actually say that, does it? No, it says your God. That's how God begins. He reminds them, even though you've wandered away from me, even though I'm punishing you, I am still your God. You are still my people. Now, Isaiah 40 is initially a promise to the people of Judah. A promise that yes, though they will go into captivity, they will return. There will be a time that they will be return. God's judgment for them, sending them to an exile, into exile, will not last forever. But this passage also looks forward. It looks forward to a time in history, which as prophecies so often do, when a time comes that all of God's people, every single one of them, will have their sins paid for. That Christ, Jesus Christ, will do hard service, will pay for the sins of his people. As Jesus Christ receives punishment for all of Israel's sins, those who belong to God, and for all of our sins, those of us who belong to God, who trust in Jesus Christ. Where do we find comfort in our failures? We find comfort that not one of our failures will remove us from the love of Jesus Christ. That because of Jesus Christ, all, every single one, not one of our sins will not be paid for. They have been paid for. That's the idea there in verse 2. That she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. There's no question that the punishment has been paid. Jesus Christ has paid it all perfectly. That means we shouldn't have any doubt of how we stand with our Heavenly Father because of Jesus Christ. We can find comfort in our sins, in our failures, that everything, all of our sins have been fully paid for. We find comfort in the fact that we can't make ourselves right with God. We find comfort in the fact that only Jesus Christ can. He is the answer to the question, where do we find our comfort? He is our comfort. We find comfort in our failures. But secondly, we find comfort in the work of Christ. That's our second point. Comfort in the work of Christ. Again, in the first instance, these verses here, three and following, have reference to the people of Judah, or as they return. And the person making straight the way from the Lord is referred to later on in Isaiah as King Cyrus, God's servant who made the way clear for God's people to return back to the promised land. But the book of Luke also makes it clear that this promise, that the person calling out in the desert is John the Baptist, who is a herald for Jesus Christ, to make the way plain and make the way straight for Jesus Christ. Now, if you go past Steve's place and cross the Hiranui Bridge, on the way to Hanmer Springs, there are the speed bumps. Who knows the speed bumps on the way up there? They're a family favourite. Well, I don't know if you read in the paper the other days, they're actually smoothing them out. I believe work's already started. Steve, have they started on that already? You don't go up that way very often. They're smoothing out the speed bumps. Not totally, I hear, but as a part of safety and smoother journeys and things, those bumps are going to be a lot smoother. The idea is to make things more safe. And that's what Christ has come to do, not only for the people of Israel, but for all of us, and to do so in our own individual lives. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, who we are given as well, to give us, as the Catechism says, the assurance of eternal life. First of all, the Holy Spirit comes to us in Jesus Christ. It becomes ours through the work of the Holy Spirit as God comes to us in the desert of our life without God. He smooths the way, makes the way clear in our hearts so that we can come and bow our knee before him in repentance. That same Holy Spirit points us to Jesus Christ. And he smooths down those valleys. He lifts us up in our needs. He lifts us up when we're humbled, when we're struggling, when we're depressed. He provides us with comfort. And equally, that same Holy Spirit when we're too high for our own good, knocks us down to size. Humbles us when we need to be humbled. Comfort in the work of Christ. Comfort in the work of the Holy Spirit who applies the work of Christ to us. And in all of this, as God and His Holy Spirit is working our lives, making us more and more like Jesus Christ's glory is revealed in us. Isaiah 40 verse 5, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. Again, that's a referral first and foremost to Jesus Christ when He walked the earth, and His work, His humiliation, His exaltation, but it's also God's work bringing the glory of Jesus Christ, shining the light of Jesus Christ through us. We find comfort in being lifted up. We find comfort in our eternal security. We can find comfort in being awakened to the glory of Jesus Christ that is growing in us. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We read this. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We're being transformed into the glory of Jesus Christ. Does that comfort you? Christ's work in you, His glory growing in you, lifting you up, molding you, sometimes knocking you down to size when you need to be knocked down. Does it comfort you too, thinking about the bigger picture, that nothing can stand in the way of our victorious Savior, Jesus Christ? Comfort in Christ's work. Comfort in our failures. But thirdly, the comfort of God's word. Verses 6 through 8. There's another call that's made to cry out. Cry out, and I said, that's Isaiah speaking, what shall I cry? And Isaiah here engages in a comparison between man and the word of God. We all know the frailty of human bodies. We feel and live that frailty, don't we? Easily damaged, easily broken. We know our health struggles that we carry with us day in and day out. We know how frail human life is. We see that in the road toll. We saw that in Christchurch with 50 lives gone in the space of half an hour. We see the frailty of human promises. Promises made and not kept. Even with good intentions, failure to make those promises go through. Isaiah says, and God says through Isaiah, that there's only one thing that we can really rely on. There's only one thing that we can depend upon, and that is God and His word. His word to us. People are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of our God stands forever. We find comfort in the reliability, the dependability of God's word. Comfort through His word given to us through instructions, and the comfort in those words. The Apostle Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 1. In fact, turn there with me now. 1 Peter chapter 1. Keep your hand there in Isaiah, but turn with me if you have your Bibles open. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read verses 23 through 25. 1 Peter 1, starting at verse 23. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. And here Peter quotes Isaiah, for all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this, Peter says, is the word that was preached to you. What's the comfort in God's word, according to Peter? God's word preached to us. Do you find that? Do you find comfort in God's word preached? Do you seek that comfort? Do you see that comfort? That's what the Reformation, one of the main ideas that the Reformation was built on. God's word preached to the common man. The common man and woman being able to go and hear God's word spoken to them, preached to them, explained to them in their own simple language. Yet we live in a world where the preaching of God's word is falling out of favor. It's being replaced with entertainment. We live in a world where a second church service is an increasingly rare thing. If we're really honest, in our own church, in a second service, we struggle to fill our pews. What does that say about us as a church? What does that say about us as the wider church? Do we value the comfort of God's word preached? Do we see its importance? Now, of course, you'll say yes. I hope you'll say yes. But what do our actions, what does the wider church's actions actually say? We long for comfort. But do we come and be comforted by the preaching of God's word? The preaching of God's word, the reading of God's word, the speaking of God's word, the meditating and chewing on God's word. Comfort provided by us, by God to us. And of course, that's not just the preaching of the word. It applies to reading and meditating on our own as well. The comfort of God's word, the comfort in the work of Christ, comfort in our failures. But Isaiah doesn't stop there, and neither should we. And our final point, we see what we should be doing with that comfort. And our final point is the comfort proclaimed. The call here goes out to the prophets. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. That was the call of the prophets in that day. Jesus Christ, however, makes that call, the call here of Isaiah 40, our call. As we are called in Matthew 28 to go out to proclaim the hope, to proclaim the good news. Now, I remember the day that our first child was born. And I wanted to take that child and go and stand up on the roof of the hospital and shout out to everyone that I'm a father, I'm a dad. I wanted to put it on Facebook, but we didn't have Facebook back in those days, believe it or not, boys and girls. I wanted to put an ad in the newspaper. I wanted to let people know the wonderful news. The wonderful news of comfort. Of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Do we want to make that news known? Do we want to tell people that we belong body and soul and life and death to our faithful Savior Jesus Christ, and that that is good news, and that that possibility is available for any single person who believes? Do you believe that the news of Jesus Christ is wonderful? Do you believe that, brothers and sisters? Then the call to you, if you do believe that, is to proclaim it, is to shout it aloud from the mountains, is to proclaim it to anyone and everyone who will hear and listen. Tell people about Jesus Christ. The Savior has come, the Lord of all, the Lord who is a wonderful, tender shepherd. That's the picture that Isaiah proclaims and that we sung about from Psalm 23. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. What a comfort. What a beautiful picture of comfort that we can offer to people. We proclaim that comfort with the words that we use, brothers and sisters, but we also proclaim that comfort, or our belief and our hope in that comfort, in the way that we live. As people watch us through our trials, through our struggles, as people see us in our triumphs, they know where we find our comfort from. And they also know our witness when we find our comfort in other things apart from Jesus Christ as well. So my question to you this evening, the question of God's word to you this evening, is a simple one. Where do you find your comfort? Do you find your comfort in Jesus Christ in your failures? Do you find comfort in Jesus Christ's work? Do you find comfort in the word of God? Are you seeking to let others know of the wonderful comfort that you have? Where is your only comfort in life and in death? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we begin this evening confessing that so often we find our comfort in other things than you. Forgive us for that, we pray. But we thank you this evening for a reminder of the wonderful comfort that you give us through and in Jesus Christ. The wonderful comfort that none of our sins, not one of them, can stop us from being with you. That not one of our sins disqualifies us from having a place before your throne in heaven. That even though we fail, you are always there for us. We thank you that Jesus Christ's death has made that possible, that we belong to Jesus Christ with body and soul because of the price that he has paid, that he has fully paid for all of our sins. We thank you for the ongoing comfort of the work of Jesus Christ in our lives through the Holy Spirit, equipping us, challenging us, molding us, making us more and more like Jesus Christ. It is truly amazing to us that the glory of Jesus Christ, according to the Apostle Peter, shines through us, through the Apostle Paul, I should say. We thank you for the comfort of God's word. May it be a comfort to us. May we find comfort from your word proclaimed and preached from the pulpit. May we seek that comfort. May we find comfort, Lord, in our own personal devotions, our own reading of the Bible and speaking the Bible to others as well. And Heavenly Father, help us, fill us with the joy of that comfort so that we will go out and proclaim that news to a world that is looking for comfort in all the wrong places, that so desperately needs the comfort of the Good Shepherd. Use us, we pray. Send us out from this place to go and proclaim the wonderful news of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.